Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Delighted to have, and it's a rare pleasure, I have to say, but to have Trace Davey in studio with us. You're on that mic there, Trace, wrong one. Okay, that's the one, and we're off. Brilliant. You're very welcome, Trace.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Roland.
Delighted to have you, and you got a big handful of goodies with you as well, fine for us. But before we get to it, let's do the website of the week.
Website of the week is alone.ie or ageaction.ie. Yesterday, my dad's neighbour came in to see was he okay and to say he was going away for a few days. And it just reminded me how important it is to check on the elderly and our elderly neighbours, but to actually call in on them, Ronan.
Absolutely
see
right.
See them face to face.
You're spot on, Trace. Actually, it turns out that in this morning's paper, I was only doing it during the papers this morning, in this morning's paper, that the Tilda Research department in Trinity have come out with the facts that actually what was rural isolation among the elderly has now become urban isolation among the elderly, and it's everywhere. And I was absolutely devastated to realise that the elderly included the over 50s. So there you go. I was horrified at that. But anyway, we're all included. So there you go.
Okay, yeah, well, I close my mouth in shock on that particular one. But just to go in and use the excuse of it's getting cold and will I bring in some coal for you? Or will I check your smoke alarm or your CO2 alarm or the battery's all right? Find some excuse to get in there and see them face to face in their home. It's important, and you never know what's behind closed doors. And 10 minutes of conversation.
And you know, it's also great, I have to say this, because this is what happened with us. We had an elderly woman living across the road from us, and I remember her very well, and we got turfed over by my mum regularly, 3 and 4 of us, to go over and make sure she was okay and had everything. It's actually a really good thing to get your kids involved in as well. If you're not comfortable with sending the kids on their own, bring them with you, because what you're doing is you're modelling great behaviour for them as well. Would you agree?
Absolutely, such an example to share your time as well as money and resources and baking and all kinds of things. Time is such a valuable commodity, and it's well worth investing in your neighbours and in your children to share their time also.
So Age Action Ireland and alone.ie, check both of those out in terms of websites of the week. And you know, it's, you're so on the money this morning, Trace, because that was a huge story this morning in the papers. Sharpen your knives,
because blunt knives are more dangerous than a sharp one. That's bad grammar, but it's the truth.
Is that true? Yeah,
and particularly these times when squashes and pumpkins are all in the supermarkets, and you make lovely soups and roast them and sweet things and savoury things out of them, but you need a really sharp knife to peel a squash or peel a pumpkin.
Gotcha. And I never knew that blunt knives were more dangerous. I didn't realise that.
You put more pressure on them to cut, and that's how you damage yourself with a blunt knife.
Of course.
You're pressing harder.
Harder, yeah. So you give yourself repetitive strain injury and all that kind of stuff, RSI, whatever, yeah.
Or the knife can slip because it's not gripping into the thing or not cutting into the thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that's why it's more dangerous.
Gosh, well done.
And you can make lovely soups out of pumpkin, but you need to flavour them with either some spice, some cumin. Found a lovely recipe where they use chorizo and cook the pumpkin and the onions and carrots and things in the fat. Mm. Then add the stock, blend it, and throw in your bacon or your chorizo, whichever you've used.
I imagine, the bit of chorizo would give it a bit of an edge there.
Absolutely. They are bland, Ronan, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
And don't waste the seeds. You can pat them dry, wash them, and bake them in the oven for 10 minutes with a bit of salt. They're a lovely nibble. Or you can throw them out to the birds.
Oh, that's right. Actually, yeah, I have to say now, we have a tremendous amount of birds around our house, and everything gets thrown out to the birds, and they do well. They do very well up in our house. Fennel seeds.
You can mix fennel seeds with the salt and the pumpkin seeds, just to give the pumpkin seeds a little bit of flavour. It gives them a kick as well.
Yeah, and I've seen what you're doing. You're covering them, you're oil baking them, a little bit of oil on a baking tray.
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Gas mark 480 degrees.
Lovely.
Slightly crispy into the jam jar, and you can nibble on them all night.
Lovely. Lovely. Okay. So, top tips for hands.
Hand cream is not just for ladies, gents.
Do you know what? You're so right. Absolutely. I had a friend now who used to, a mate of mine, all the way through, and he was kind of psoriasis, and he was really, really good. Now, I was always useless at it, but he had exactly the one you have there, the Norwegian formula. And that is Neutrogena, is that
That's
right?
That's Neutrogena. I've two there, because there are two kinds of hand creamed. There's an emollient one that kind of traps the moisture, and then there's the moisturising one.
Okay.
And so there's two there, you can try them.
So explain to me what an emollient is. It traps the moisture?
It kind of puts a film on the skin, and it, as well as going into the skin, it actually protects the skin from drying out further.
And that's the Neutrogena, that's Norwegian, the,
and
it?
When you open okay. it, you can see it. It's kind of like the petroleum jelly kind of feel.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best way to describe it, I can say.
So if I was to try, but I'm going to do the taste test now, and just see. Would you start with the Lacura? So that
I try the creamier one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is Lacura Hand Care Pro Revive, moisturizing hand cream with UV filters, beeswax, and vitamin E hand cream. Okay, so on it goes.
That's the one out of my car.
Is it? Okay, well, that's a really good idea to have one in your car.
We forgot to mention that last week for winter ready.
That's lovely. I can feel it going into my hands. I said,
instant moisturizer.
Oh, that is
and
very
so,
nice.
And I use that one because you can drive, but the steering wheel won't slip away.
Around, yeah. Do you know what? Seriously, that smells quite nice as well. Very nice. Lovely kind of slightly floral kind of smell. It's really beautiful.
That's what might put some of the men off, so we'll go back to the Neutrogena.
Yeah, that wouldn't. I mean, it's clean. It smells a little bit like I'm going to say something we used to put on as kids for gins, like Nivea.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's very nice. No, I that'd be fine for me now, and I have occasionally been known to be a man, and there you go. Okay. So I'm going to try the hand cream
okay,
now.
Okay.
So this is the Neutrogena.
And listeners,
okay?
I will just describe the process there. He's actually doing it very well.
Okay.
He's putting the right amount on.
That's what we're doing. The Neutrogena looks like it's much more intense and thick, is it?
Yes, it is. And you'll see what I mean. I would say for outdoors, for the walkers, for the workers outdoors. And it's very important to protect your hands.
Oh, I like that. That's really good too. But you know, what happened with the Lacura, right, was I could feel that soaking into my hands.
Instantly.
That was lovely. You know, whereas this is, I know what you mean. This is more like putting on something that is like a protection against the externals. Yeah, I could see. So this is that you're up the hills in the cold and you put something on.
Or you're out cutting the blocks or you're out doing the painting, you're out gardening.
Yeah.
Or put it on your hands, put on your rubber gloves.
Yeah.
If you're sitting at night, put on your gloves and watching the television, put on the thicker one. Absolutely, it's important. You can buy cotton gloves in the €2 shop, or you can buy them in Boots. And it's important, if your hands are dry, put the cream on, put the gloves on, and watch the TV.
Do you know what? I think you've converted me. This is really wonderful. Lacura. So I'm going to get that hand care, Pro Revive, and you put it in the car.
Keep it in the car.
Yeah.
When you're stuck in the traffic on the way down just now, on the job. Put it in the mug holder.
Yeah.
And that's your
absolutely.
Hand cream.
Absolutely. Because I do have a little, like a hand washer, like kind of, the sanitary thing that just it just gets rid of whatever, 99% of all known germs, those
like vinegar.
So every so often, exactly, yeah. So every so often you might be somewhere and you want, I really need to wash my hands now, but I can't wash my hands, but that's a hand sanitizer. Yeah. That's the word. Yeah,
yes.
Hand sanitizer. So that's great. But this is actually more than a hand sanitizer. This is a kind of, it's like loving your hands.
Absolutely. The sanitizer will dry out your hands in the car, where this is, you should have it in your mug holder, and now in these winter months, just to protect your hands, it's important.
Show your hands some love, everybody.
Show
lovely.
Their hands.
I tell you, and there you go.
And buy some for the one you love to show their hands some love.
So, are you telling me that this is something women have known always? And I'm only just finding this out
catching
now.
Catching up now, yeah.
Oh, gee,
and our listeners are catching up, and I bet you, but they all know this already. They all know this.
They probably do. But if there's any men out there, can I just say, do yourselves a favour. Get yourself that stuff, that hand cream, that Lacura, wherever it is. Where'd you get that?
Aldi.
That's Aldi. Is it?
Yeah.
Fair play. Aldi are fantastic, aren't they? Okay, good. So that's the hand creams. And I just noticed you saying, so it's rubber gloves?
Put it on before you put on the rubber gloves, because it intensifies it. It gives it a kind of heat into your hands when you're doing your wash-ups. It protects them. This really, really works, putting on the cream before you put on the rubber gloves. It soaks in and the heat warms it up and it's lovely. Put it on, buy the cloth gloves, cotton gloves, in the Eurosaver or in Boots, and get into the habit once a week. On with the cream, watch the telly.
Now, I have to tell you, I've never had used the cotton gloves that you mentioned. And what would that be? What would you use a cotton glove for again?
To cover your hands for two things.
Yeah.
To stop you scratching at night if you're a scratcher.
Yeah, okay.
Or secondly, to let the cream absorb into your hands without getting on your clothes. An intense kind of a sleeping bag for your hands with the cream inside soaking. There's two reasons you would have them for.
That's really good. Now, I couldn't help but notice that you brought in some salty licorice stars. Salty licorice stars.
From Tiger.
From Tiger. Okay.
It's a salty licorice. Right. We'll just call it salty licorice. Salty. I have found a way to stop children eating sweets.
Give them
Seemingly, this is
are they
all the rage.
No,
the salty sweets are all the rage in the Baltic and in Sweden and places like that.
I've had these. I tell you, now that you say it, I'm tasting it. Netherlands. I've had this in the Netherlands. That's really horrendous. There you go.
And the reason I brought it in and live is because I wanted to see your face. Mm. And it was worth. And listeners, to describe Ronan's face now, he's wincing slightly, the eyes are closed, little shake of the head. Yeah.
Had a little shiver to myself there.
This would get rid of the sweet sensation, wouldn't it, Ronan?
Can I tell you, they went mad for that stuff. Out in the Netherlands, they were like, even the kids were eating it. Yeah, obviously they're giving it, but it is literally salty licorice. Yeah. It's revolting.
Okay, so if you want your children to go off sugar and you don't want to discourage them eating sweets, run along to Tiger and get the salty licorice and have them instead. It might work. It's a plan.
You never know. Oh man, I've got to get this out of my mouth. It's shocking.
Goodbye, Roland.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
The Holiday Doctor on Spirit Radio is brought to you by InsureMyHoliday.ie. Wherever you go worldwide, it's got to be InsureMyHoliday.ie.
Well, after a chilly weekend, you might be feeling a bit winter blue. So our next guest is here to talk about warm winter sun holidays and holidaying in Tenerife. In studio to get us in the holiday mood ahead of the bank holiday weekend and the school's midterm next week, it's travel doctor Joe Subway. Very welcome back to the show. Joe, how are you, man?
I'm good, Ronan, good. And the old temperatures are dropping here, so it's time to start looking at the old winter sun. It's what it's all about now. I mean, there's so many destinations to go to, but one of my favourite places, which I've been to now, God, for the last 5 years, is Tenerife. And first time I'd sort of gone there, I was like, you try and work out the areas and stuff. And, you know, I suppose for listeners who haven't been to Tenerife before, you fly into the south of the island. It's the largest Canary Island.
Okay, it's Canary. So it's off the coast of Africa, right?
It is, yes. Okay. So you're guaranteed almost your 365 days of sunshine, which is good. And temperatures are always very, very nice there.
Yeah.
As I said, first time I went there, I stayed in the south of the island for 2 nights and then moved over to the north, which is about an hour and a half drive away.
Do you have a favourite end, south,
I
north?
I sure do. This is my big tip for people. If you're staying in Tenerife, I would definitely recommend you stay in the south of the island.
Okay.
Because your transfer from the airport is 20 minutes, really quick and handy.
Absolutely.
But also, like the week we had there was beautiful, 28, 30 degrees all week.
Wow.
Over the north of the island, a lot more cloud and rain,
okay.
I guess. They do. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's
and interesting, I was talking to some of the restaurateurs and some of the hoteliers there, and a lot of their vegetables and all the stuff come from the north of the island because it has the
more rain.
Climate.
Yeah,
more
yeah.
rain. So, that's my top tip. For people who haven't been there before, I flew over with Aer Lingus. They operate 5 flights weekly from Dublin to Tenerife, as well as 2 flights a week from Cork, which is handy, of course, for our listeners. Fares start there. Now, I actually looked at the website before because, sometimes you look at fares and say, there's plenty of availability. Fares start there from $66.99 one way, including taxes and charges.
Wow,
which is
very reasonable.
Really good.
Yeah,
and there's plenty of availability there for sort of the next month, and of course for them we're into sort of November, December time as well.
So, what temperature wise? What does it get? Does it get very, very cool in the middle of the winter, or is it always pretty standard?
It's always in the round of sort of 20 to 25 degrees.
Gee, that's
It might get a bit cooler in the evenings, which is quite typical of the Canary Islands. But it's one of those places that when you go to, there's so many little resorts to go to. I mean, I stayed in a place called Adeje, which is, as I said, 20 minutes from the airport, just away from the main strip. It's sort of an exclusive area. There's a stunning property I came across a few years ago called the Royal Garden Villas.
Okay.
Now, when I say villas, in other words, it's your own little private villas within this... I can't even call it a resort because it's so special. But basically, you book your villa so you can go from, like, a one-bed if you're a couple going down there to a two-bed if it's maybe 2 couples and stuff. And generally, you would go on a bed and breakfast basis, but they also do have a half-board option there as well.
And Royal Garden Villas are near where?
Adeje. So they're about 20 minutes away from the airport.
Okay.
But the main areas there would be Playa del America, so you're about 10 minutes away from there. Playa del America is probably Tenerife's largest holiday resort. It was actually purpose-built in 1960 and has remained particularly popular with the sort of bucket-and-spade package tourists ever since.
Yeah.
But it's great. You know,
that
typical type place you'd look at. I suppose with the Royal Garden Villas, again, they have the most stunning breakfast is an experience. Now, I'm a real breakfast person. I'll get up no matter what time, if I'm out,
like myself,
something, get up, have the breakfast that sets you up for the day.
Yeah.
It's an experience. You sort of sit there for 2 hours, you just enjoy every little minute of it, everything that they do there. And again, the staff, like, they have this butler service as well with the villas. Yeah. So everything, anything you want is done. Like, you know, Ice Book is changed 3 times a day. And a lot of writers go there, interesting enough, because they go and write their books. You've got your own private villa.
Yeah.
You've got your own private pool within your villa. And, you know, just the luxury of the place is absolutely beautiful.
And what kind of price are we talking about in terms of cost of accommodation there?
You're talking about for 7 nights. Now, as I said, this is 5-star plus exclusive. Sure. So you're talking about, they do package it up with some of the operators, but you're talking about in and around the 1,500, maybe 2,000 for the week upwards. Depends on what type of villa you're going for. You have options there.
Absolutely.
And I noticed there was a couple of Irish people staying there when I was there. And it's interesting, you know, on social media, it's the huge thing now. Mm. I put up lots of pictures and they got a huge amount of bookings when we were actually over there. As well, which that's the proof of it.
Absolutely.
It's a very popular place, so you need to book it well in advance. So anyone maybe looking to go in on a really, really nice honeymoon, you don't need to leave your villa. Now, of course, you can do. There's communal areas there as well.
Absolutely.
They also have a restaurant in the evening. They do a barbecue night. But also, if you go in their half board, they have a place called Monkey Bar and Grill, which is about 20 minutes away. You can have dinner in there as well.
Absolutely,
they have a few different restaurants. So
you make a good point, actually, about the honeymoon thing, because, you know, when people get married at this time of year, actually, it is difficult enough finding someplace that's nice at that time. We went to Madeira, up the road from the Canaries, and the same thing at this time of year, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's not a, you know, unless you go really long distance, you know, this is a good short, well, not short, but not
it's,
too
it's,
long.
It's a four, just over a 4-hour flight.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, I have friends at the moment who are in Fuerteventura, and it's cloud the last 2 days there, and it's another 2 days, and then it's sunshine again. I have other friends who are in Portugal. The weather is very, very nice. You just don't really know. You just have to sort of go with it. As I said, there's so much to do there within Tenerife itself. I mean, as the areas wise, and again, I sort of mentioned two of the most popular resorts there. As I said, Playa Las Americas and Las Cristianas is another area there. But as I said, also the beaches there are unbelievable.
Are they?
Beautiful sandy beaches.
Yeah.
The water's nice and warm. There's great facilities there. And it's very reasonable as well. If you want to go out for dinner or whatever, like, there's plenty of different resorts that you can book and go to.
And the cost of food, quality of restaurants, what they like?
Excellent. Really, really good. There's a lovely little fishing village just literally 5 minutes in a taxi away from the Royal Garden Villas. We went down there 2 different nights just to have dinner. Beautiful, beautiful restaurants. And you're talking about very reasonable prices as well, and really good. And of course, being a fishing, little fishing area,
you get great
fish. That's the thing to go for, you know,
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, the fish is so fresh.
And when you say reasonable, are you talking about substantially cheaper than, say, for instance, you pay in Ireland?
Oh, big time. Yeah. Very much so. I mean, you're talking about beautiful fish that you'd pay maybe 35, 40 euro in a restaurant here. You're talking about maybe 12 euro there.
Yeah, wow.
So it's a huge difference.
That's amazing. So what you're saying was you're not absolutely guaranteed great weather because of the time of year that it is, but a couple of days and then it gets better. Is that what you're saying?
Just saying about Fuerteventura there, and you never know. I mean, I've stayed in Lanzarote and looked across and had cloud in Lanzarote, and I'm looking at Fuerteventura with no clouds.
Yeah.
It just depends on to the day, but Tenerife generally would be very, very hot and like the really good temperatures there. And also, you know, it's a really good resort as well for families. It's very safe. It feels good. Again, you can pick, maybe go sort of self-catering, or if you want it as well. And I checked out this place because we went down for a little day visit there. Iberostar.com is the group of hotels there. And it's an interesting, I was looking up some of the stuff there. They've actually brought this whole thing into the group. I know the hotel brand very, very well, but they've come up with this, you know, got rid of all the plastic and stuff, which everyone's going eco now, which is a really good thing. And all the resorts completely from at the end of 2019, it'll be completely single use plastic free, which is great.
Yeah, brilliant.
This is also the property there is the Iberostar Grand El Mirador. It's about 8 minutes away from a decade where we were staying, and it's adult only. Now, when you see adult only, again, we're talking about honeymoons there. It's the ideal thing to go for.
Yeah.
You've got beautiful suites there, restaurants, amazing spas, one of the biggest spas on the island, great facilities. But also they have this sort of like a privilege area which you can book as well when you book a suite. In other words, it's like walking into an airport lounge outdoors. It's on three different levels on that AstroTurf grass.
You've
got the big cabanas. You've got these walk-in glass areas where you can have your champagne, your food. That's all included in in the deals that you do. And friends of mine had stayed there before and they said, you've got to check this place out. So we did literally a day visit when we were down there. The website there is iberistar.com.
Yeah.
And it's definitely worth it. I mean, it's very much, you know, on the prestige end of things. But, you know, a lot of the operators here would package it up for you with the flights and your transfers and, of course, you know, your accommodation there for 7 nights. But it is one of the big, big winter destinations for people to go to looking for sun.
So when you say a lot of the operators will package it up, that's you go to your local, you know, tour operator, travel agent, and say, listen, I've heard about this place. Can you put me a package together? And they do that.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, or else, absolutely. As we said, as I was saying there with the flights with Aer Lingus, you could book your flights with Aer Lingus now and then go straight to the Iberistar website and have a little look there and see what's available.
Wow.
I mean, it was quite, I think their occupancy there is about 98%, which is huge when you think about it. But it doesn't feel crowded because there's such a huge area and it's literally
literally
right on the beachfront. Yeah. So in other words, you people who are going to maybe, you know, the catering restaurant, or the buffet restaurant in the evening, or else you can go for the a la carte type restaurant.
Yeah.
Again, at lunchtime they have snack bars there, and of course if you had your prestige card, or if you book that, your suite basically walks straight out to this AstroTurf area, which is kept exclusively for, you know, the privileged members, whatever.
And as you said, that idea will really appeal to some people, that the fact that there aren't kids. There's some places that you really want, great for kids, and then other places that are, you know, you just want, particularly as you say, if you're on a honeymoon or you're doing something like that, it could be quite nice. Can I ask you, are there any good winter deals at the moment?
There is really good stuff coming up now at the moment. As I said, I just, even just before I came on, I just checked the Aer Lingus website, but also all the operators are working now on their sort of winter sun, so there's fantastic last minute deals you get. But again, last week the availability wasn't too good, so I suppose people were starting to feel the cold and they booked stuff, and
the fact that we hadn't such a brilliant summer here, so suddenly they're going, oh no,
things are changing a little bit. I mean, you will have your popular destinations for the winter sun. Again, Grand Canary is one of the most popular ones. I think we spoke about it before. Cape Town is huge. Again, you want to wait till maybe sort of mid-January to go there.
Yeah.
You could go maybe in December if you had time to go down there, but a good time to go is mid-January.
Yeah.
Morocco, we've spoken about before. Actually, unfortunately, Air Arabia have stopped running their flights down from this weekend. Yeah.
Wow.
They've pulled the service. So I don't know, because normally Morocco, Agadir would be a really good winter sun destination for people to go to, but they rend the service all through the year, which I suppose in the summertime they might have suffered a little bit with that.
So
I'm sure one of the package companies here, operators, will put a charter on and maybe run down for January, February. But generally there is really, really good deals there, and if it's just a matter of looking.
So just to ask again, that was iberistar.com, is that what you said?
iberistar.com, that's the adults only place.
Right, yeah.
And then the other place was Royal Garden Villas. Interesting enough, the general manager there is a girl, an Irish girl called Fiona McAndrew, who's been living there for 30 years.
And
and you meet her, she's great, she's fantastic. But again, all the staff there, and you know, I've gone back there for the last 3 years, and one thing that I always notice is it's always the same staff. That's a sign of a good property.
Isn't it?
When you see that,
same people staff. Aren't running out of the place screaming, they're happy to work there. And I always think happy staff makes a happy holiday for you.
Well, that's it. And you know what? You don't even notice it. It's very seamless. You know, you don't notice the staff. They're all sort of, you know, they're doing their work, but they're not on top of you. They're leaving you to do your own thing. So I definitely would recommend for people who are thinking about sun, definitely Tenerife, and definitely stay in the south of the island. Now, the north is very nice, but you don't want to take a chance if you want to get your sunshine, whatever.
Absolutely.
So, and as I said, there is good deals to be got down there as well. And again, look, you can look at the self-catering option. There's plenty of deals maybe for, you know, different type hotels that people might want to just go for a room only, or apartments or things like that as well. But
makes sense.
All in all, it's definitely on the old bucket list for the winter sun.
Every time you come in, you always put that longing on me, Joe. I tell you, I want me to go down there myself. Okay.
Pack the bags.
The Doctor on Spirit Radio is brought to you by insuremyholiday.ie. Wherever you go worldwide, it's got to be insuremyholiday.ie.
Now, we all lead busy lives, and our days can be so full that sometimes we need to consciously remember to make time out in our day to pray, whether it's first thing in the morning, on our commute to work, having our lunch in the evening, or all of those options. And there's an incredible event based around continuous prayer taking place later this week in Belfast. It's called 24/7 Prayer International Conference. And on the line now to tell us more, we have Alan Emerson, leader of 24/7 Prayer Ireland. You are very welcome back to the show, Alan. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. First of all, Alan, can you tell us about your upcoming conference this week?
Yeah. So this is what we call our 24/7 Prayer International Conference. It's burst out of a movement that many people have heard of called 24/7 Prayer that started just over 20 years ago in a prayer room in the south coast of England. And it started off as a night prayer room for a month. And they kind of kept going after a month because all sorts of wonderful things were happening as people were stirred by prayer. And I kept it going for another 2 months, and by that stage it kind of started to break out in lots of different places, and we've been praying really non-stop night and day ever since. And so each year we do a conference, a gathering in some particular city in the world where we feel and sense God doing some stuff, or we have some people on the ground, and we've been doing that, you know, nearly every year since it began. And so this year we're celebrating 20 years, and we're delighted to say that the leadership have chosen to come to Belfast, and we're getting ready to start on Thursday night. I think 1,000 people or so now, from maybe 30 to 40 nations represented, and all descending on the centre of Belfast, and we're really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's very, very exciting to imagine all that happening. What is it, do you think, Alan, about these type of events that particularly appeals to people? What has the feedback been like?
The feedback from these events are always wonderful. It's kind of that old saying that they say, I think, so much of our faith is caught as much as it's taught, and while the teaching's really important, and we're getting on with that in terms of our local context. And while we do quite a bit of teaching at the conferences, there's something just catalytic and almost a movement thing, that movement, kind of Holy Spirit movement dynamic that we just get caught up in when we gather together. I suppose it's not unlike the biblical kind of feasts and people pilgrimaging from one place to another to be together, to celebrate stories of what God's doing all around the world and to lean into what he wants to do and try and hear him afresh with that.
Yeah, I can absolutely imagine, you know, but yet the idea for some people, the thought, I suppose, of a 24/7 prayer event, the idea of it could be a bit daunting. And you know, what can people expect, and who would you encourage to attend?
Yeah, so it's basically just lots of very ordinary people, and a lot of people who actually probably felt they weren't very good at praying. Now, we often call 24/7 prayer the accidental prayer movement because none of us thought we were that good at it. But we just kind of come to the end of ourselves in terms of like programs, human strategies, stuff like that. Found ourselves desperate for something deeper and longing for more of the presence of God in our lives and realizing that we're really poor prayer. So as we did that, it led into all sorts of kind of mission. And so the people that are coming together, you know, are just very ordinary people that, you know, have just went on the journey like the disciples, I suppose, said, Lord, teach us how to pray, which has led us into all sorts of mission. And when we come together, we'll have times of worship, we'll have times of inspirational kind of teaching, we'll have lots of stories being shared of how where, you know, prayer is kind of breaking out in some of the most broken places of our world. We'll have lots of kind of feasting and fun sort of together as well. That's the kind of makeup of it, really. But I think what's kind of really unique about these conferences is, as much as they're planned and organized and stuff, there's just a very strong openness to how the Spirit is moving amongst us in terms of story and, you know, just prophetic interruptions that we often come across as we kind of position ourselves to really hear what the Lord wants to say to us.
You keep yourself open to the idea that, you know, the Lord may, as you say, may interrupt things by giving you something, and that prophetic element means that, and of course, being in obedience to him, you want to run with that should that arise. Can I ask you, Alan, you know, the format of the conference, and you know, you have a leadership stream, I believe, and various different streams running through it. Could you give us an idea about that?
Yeah, so while we have some main stage kind of sessions, like, there'll also be a number of different seminars on different parts of, like, leadership development, parts of kind of mission and cultural kind of engagement today. And different just kind of seminars on and equipping people to do the stuff, really, you know. So we're really, really blessed that so many people that are traveling, you know, are doing the stuff in local context. You know, it's not really you know, for want of a better phrase, it's not really a consumeristic kind of thing in that way. You know, lots of people are coming that are really right on the coal face of Mission and Ibiza, amongst the kind of clubbing scene there, Macedonia, you know, other parts of Europe. You know, a lot of friends from Asia will be there, a lot of the guys from North America will be there, and so they've got lots of people from different contexts and local contexts doing the stuff who have so much to contribute. So we kind of release a lot of those guys in seminars to really inspire people amongst what prayer looks like, not just in a prayer room, but how it's kind of breaking out in the streets and amongst the poor.
Absolutely, and those stories, as you quite rightly said earlier on, it can be incredibly inspirational to people who, you know, who are only getting into this for the first time, and they hear, they see what God's doing, and it just builds up faith, doesn't it?
Totally, and it's the stories that really seem to just break people's heart, you know, leave them pretty surrendered and inspired to kind of push on for more.
Absolutely. So, Alan, what do you think people take away with them from attending these type of events? Does it help people change their outlook or how they go about their daily life? I mean, even how they approach prayer.
It's a good question, because, you know, I think without it sort of sounding cliche, it just really messes up your life in the right kind of way. Because you hear stories of people who, you know, are really kind of like giving up dreams, selling houses, you know, following the hunches that don't make any sense rationally. It's just going against the spirit of the age, really, to become in some ways the answers to their own prayers that they're praying, you know. So we just find, you know, the takeaway, if you were trying to make that a little bit more measurable, to take away a hunger for prayer. Like, they take away a desire to, like, personally and corporately up the level of prayer in their own lives, and not in a kind of legalistic way, but just in a terms of, like, an intimacy with the Father and a desire to go deeper, really, and not to be kind of just like we can do within Christianity today, just to be satisfied with the kind of superficial kind of attending church and, you know, kind of every fulfilling other people's expectations. So I think they go away with a real kind of hunger for an authentic, deep kind of spiritual formative prayer life. And then I think they go away with an inspiration to take that prayer to actually some of the most broken places in our communities and in our cities.
Yeah.
And just to show up with faith, believing that prayer is something that engages the heart of God and releases us into his dream for the world. And so I think those are probably the two main things to go with. And probably the third thing, it's really kind of a high value in 24/7, is they go with just a real bunch of new friends and high level of relational friendship. That seems to be almost what we would describe as the circuit board that we feel like the Lord is connecting around our towns and cities, nations, and the nations. You know, there's just a beautiful anointing of relationships, we believe, that's happening, and that's definitely something that they'd also take away.
Absolutely. Well, can you just give us the full details of where and when, so people can know? And
yeah, so it's in Assembly Buildings in Belfast. It starts this Thursday evening around 6:30 p.m. Runs right the way through Thursday evening, Friday, Saturday. There's a big party on Saturday evening in St. Anne's Cathedral, and then Sunday morning we'll have a session that closes off at Sunday lunchtime. I think there's still some tickets maybe available for their closing off the full conference, but there are also Saturday day tickets that you can get on the 24/7 website for people from Ireland if they want to come up just for the Saturday.
Yeah, so 24-7prayer.com for information and tickets. Alan Emerson, thank you so much for talking to us this morning, and God bless.
Thank you, Mark.
Bye bye now. Our next guest has a good alternative to Halloween, providing an option for those who look to focus on spreading joy and smiles rather than darkness and scares. Team Hope's Christmas Shoebox Appeal has started. So next week, being midterm, it's a great time for families to focus on getting their shoeboxes filled and dropped off at a Team Hope location so they can be delivered to children in the poorest parts of the world by Christmas. In studio now, to tell us more about this year's Shoebox Appeal, we have Carol Hennessy from Team Hope. You're very welcome to the show, Carol. How are you?
I'm great, Ronan. Thanks for having me down here.
Brilliant. Now, first of all, Carol, filling and wrapping these shoeboxes is an activity all the family can be involved in. I also like the idea of family staying in on Halloween together to work on something meaningful and positive. So what advice do you have for parents and children who will be choosing what goes in their Christmas shoebox this year?
Okay, well, Team Hope is just a wonderful project to be involved in, and the Christmas Shoebox Appeal brings joy, laughter, hope, smiles dignity to children in Eastern Europe and Africa who'd never get a present. So it's easy to fill an empty shoebox, you wrap it separately. There's lots of ideas on our website, www.teamhope.ie.
Absolutely.
And we have the four W's. So there's something to wash, toothbrush, toothpaste, bar of soap, something to write with. School supplies are brilliant for the children to receive because, believe it or not, many of them have never been able to go to school because if no school supplies. So a copybook is like a passport.
Absolutely. Yes.
Hard for our children to believe that. But so something to wash with, something to write with, something to wear, a pair of socks, some underwear, a hat, scarf, gloves. It's very simple, whatever can fit in a shoebox. And then the wow items. Yeah. So that could be a toy car, could be a Barbie doll, a skipping rope, a yo-yo, a photograph of you, some sweets, and then we ask for €4 to go in to help cover the costs.
Brilliant. And everything has to fit into a shoebox. So that's the thing. Where will this year's boxes be going, Carol?
So we are going to send them to 12 different countries. That's the plan. The same ones as last year. So that's Albania, Kosovo, Moldova, Belarus, Romania, Ukraine, all in Eastern Europe. And then to Africa, we are planning to send shoeboxes to Burundi, DR Congo, Swaziland, Lesotho, Malawi, and Kenya.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, you've very kindly brought in an example of a shoebox, and what really hits me first is sitting here in front of me is how much stuff you can get into it.
It's incredible, amazing. Isn't it? Yeah. It's incredible.
Like a shoebox, yeah. So, like, and in here we have, like, there's a calculator, and it's a lovely little thing because it's beautiful. It's like, it's wrapped, it has a beautiful kind of leather wrapping, calculator on one side, notebook on the other side, little tiny pen in the middle. That's just one little thing. You've got a little Isle of Islay hat there. There's a kind of little, a kind of almost like a game there. There's wine gums. There's sunglasses. There's colouring pencils. There's biros. There's a set of three toothbrushes. There's a little key ring with a light on it. There's a pencil case. There's a dice and domino set. Lovely, lovely. A Rubik's cube. There's and this is all in there. It's incredible. You know, Rubik's cube. There's a tennis ball. There's another pair of socks. There's something. Oh yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal. And then that beautiful looks like it connects. Yeah, Technic Lego Technic cherry picker. Beautiful. And that's only, I haven't even given you all of that, but that's all fit into this box. It's extraordinary, isn't it?
It is. And that's for a box 10 to 14.
Yes,
for a 10 to 14 year old boy.
Yeah.
And so often, Ronan, when we're out on distribution and we're giving out the shoe boxes and we don't have enough boy 10 to 14 boxes,
okay,
and I have to say, hey guys, you'll enjoy the sweets, you'll enjoy the school supplies, hopefully there's a present there for your mum and maybe something for your girlfriend, and we're really sorry, we hope we love boy boxes next year. So I always say to kids in school, to families, think about the children who might get it. They have never received a present before. Yeah. I know probably if you handed that shoebox to a boy here, 10 to 14, they'd probably look at you and say, do I really need a toothbrush?
Exactly.
But for these children, it really is special.
And so what are the items that they most value?
Oh, it just depends on the child. You know, I've seen little boys get a toy car. I was in an orphanage in Belarus last year, and little Daniel, he opened, his eyes just went out on stalks. He got a red Ferrari sports car, and it was in a box. He took it out, he checked the boot, he checked the doors, the bonnet, everything, put it back in the box, put the lid on the box, then took everything out again, checked the car. So I've seen kids run around the room showing you their new toothbrush. You know, a little girl just hugging her doll. She's always dreamed of having a doll, and she's got it. You know, kids who have had socks. James in Lesotho, he got a pair of socks in his shoebox. He was thrilled. To go to school, you had to have your feet covered, but he and his brother had only a pair of shoes between them. So now if one had if they had a pair of socks, they could have flip-flops, wear flip-flops and socks, or the pair of shoes, so they both could go to school.
That's amazing, isn't it? Like, as you said, a passport to education for those people. Unbelievable.
Exactly.
So I was thinking too, I'm imagining a parent of a child receiving a shoebox. It must be very meaningful them for them too.
Oh, Ronan, honestly, they come up to me and they say, just thank you. Will you please say thank you to the people in Ireland just for caring? We thought nobody thought of us. We thought nobody knew about us. Yeah. But just this box of love really means so much to them, because I've met them, and our partners tell me as well that so many of them they struggle even to put bread on the table. Mm. They don't buy birthday presents, they don't buy Christmas presents for their children. So when they are able to give these children a little, this shoebox, it means the world to them, and they're just overwhelmed by Irish people's kindness.
And remind us how many shoeboxes you received from Irish households last year.
Oh, it was tremendous. Last year we collected 259,079 boxes.
Wow. More than a quarter of a million boxes. That is incredible.
It's incredible, because behind all these figures, Ronan, is a child. You know, 259,079 children.
Yeah.
And each with their own story.
That's amazing. So what advice do you have to those looking to get their shoeboxes submitted in time? I mean, what do they need to do? Is there any form to fill in, or drop a specific drop-off points, or any of that stuff?
Okay, I think go to our website, teamhope.ie. There is a simple leaflet there, the Christmas Shoebox Appeal leaflet. It gives you all the list of the four W's. You decide to get a shoebox, do it for a boy or a girl. There's three different age groups, 2 to 4, 5 to 9, 10 to 14. So we give you the suggested items. The no items are also listed. So no liquids, no war-related items, no medicines, no food. So, and no sharp or dangerous items, obviously. So you can get shoeboxes also in deals and flat pack shoeboxes if you don't have a shoebox at home. And so you wrap the lid separately with your own shoebox, fill it with items, and a list of our drop-off points will be on our website from this week. But Deals, AXA, Toymaster, First Stop are our national drop-off points.
Wow.
So you can pop your shoebox back to them, and our wonderful 50 teams of volunteers around the country. Our volunteers are amazing. They're going to be like little elves, unstoppable over the next few weeks.
I mean, that's really handy, because if you have a Deals shop near you, or a Toymaster shop, or any of those other shops near you, that's a very, very easy way of going,
isn't
it?
Yeah. And that's what I love, you know, that families can come together, businesses can come together, your local church, individuals can do it. And that's the lovely thing about Team Hope. Everybody can be part of the team, and all of us can bring hope to these children.
Absolutely. So, closing date is?
The official closing date on our leaflet is the 8th of November.
8th of November, right.
But being an Irish charity, we always extend it a week, because we know physically it's impossible to get everything in
absolutely,
on the 8th.
Yeah, yeah.
But so there is a few days extension.
You know, and it's funny, I often find parents are often thinking about what are the kinds of things you can do around Halloween that takes people away from that kind of darkness and that vibe of, you know, ghosts and goblins and all that kind of real horrible stuff. And actually, this is a really good thing you could use your midterm to do, is just get stuff together and put this Christmas shoebox together, isn't it?
That's right, Ronan.
Yeah.
And it's lovely, because it teaches our children to learn to care and share with others. And as I say to kids in school, you know, only give what you would like to receive yourself. You have things at home, maybe the toys that you haven't used, or a perfect little toy car, a cuddly toy that another child would just love. So it doesn't have to be expensive. But nobody wants a car with a wheel missing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's just insulting, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is wonderful. So the important things to say are that you can get all the details of how to fill the boxes from teamhope.ie. You can find out where the drop-off points are. The closing date is the 8th of November. Let's say the 8th of November, even though there's a little bit of leeway there. And teamhope.ie is the place to go for everything.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
And if you want to give us a call in the office, the number is 01-294-0222. And we'd be delighted to send you out leaflets, or come and talk to your local youth group or community group or church, whatever.
Give us that number again.
It's 01-294-0222.
Lovely. Carol Hennessy from Team Hope, thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
It's a pleasure, Ronan.
God
thank you.
God bless you. God bless the work.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.